Well, it's good to be with you again this week. We're continuing teaching those articles from the article section of the website. Again, if you're not familiar, it's GaryCarpenter.org. And from the home page, on the right-hand side, you'll see a button where you can click on articles. And we've been teaching systematically through there. Today, we're going to teach the one titled Stewardship and the Holy Spirit. And again, this is involved specifically with those who are called to the ministry of helps, which is a modern term would be gospel entrepreneurship. But the principles also apply to all of us because not everybody is called to be business people or to make money in the business arena. But we are all called to be good stewards of the finances that the Lord sends to us. And we're all responsible for learning to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit, where we can be directed by the mind of Christ and not by just ourselves. Thank God he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans to, you know, have to find your own way. I'm going to send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. Well, thank God, you know, an orphan has to find his own way, provide for himself. I always think of two little, maybe little brother and sister, 7, 8 years old, maybe, walking down a dark alley, no one to provide for them, no one to care for them, looking through garbage pails for a half-eaten apple core, you know, or something. We're not like that. We are not like that. He says, I will not leave you like that. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. You're not an orphan. You're not alone. Okay. So today I'm going to read again the story that Jesus taught about what would you call it? It's really the ministry of helps, and or at least on the beginning part of it. See, again, I'm going to say that everybody is called to be a good steward. Not everybody is called into the business arena, but some people are. But this, Jesus taught on this in at least two different places. One of them, he talked about the way the King James translated is the parable of the talents instead of the pound. But they're both just measures of money in that day. So, since this is so seldom taught in the churches, even though it's right there in the Bible, let me read again. Let's read again Luke 19, verses 12 through 26. This is the ministry of helps. It's the in another place, in Paul called it the simplicity of giving. See, the simplicity of giving is more on the stewardship side. But it could also be this gospel entrepreneur. As a rule, a good type and shadow from the Old Testament is King David. King David wanted to build God a house. God says, no, your son Solomon, he's going to build me the house. Well, King David, his attitude, well, all right, if I'm not called to build the house, bless God, I can pay for it. So he started going to war with other kings, which is a type and shadow of, you know, in the business world, and he started conquering, and he brought in money. He brought in all kinds of silver and brass and gold and all kinds of things that he was the one gathering, basically turned it over to Solomon, and Solomon was the one that actually built the house. Solomon was more the steward, but King David was more the gospel entrepreneur, and they work hand in hand. All right, let's get into this. Luke 19, verses 12 through 26. It's a little bit long, but I think it's good for us to just hear the word of God. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, it's real easy to understand this. Jesus is the nobleman. The far country is heaven, where he is right now, to receive a kingdom in return. Okay? Jesus is our rich man. One time when I was meditating in the unjust steward, it said a certain rich man had a steward, and the Holy Spirit asked me, who is your rich man? I said, well, that's Jesus. And then into the next question, does he have a steward? Uh-oh. You want to be one? Oh, boy. Anyway, that's another lesson. Starting again, I'll try not to comment so much. He said, therefore, A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now that word trading, if you look it up in the Greek, it really means just to do business by any means. Good, everything from, you know, butcher to candle maker, could be trade, you know, could be stock type trading or commodities market, could be, you know, lemonade stand. I don't care where you start, you know, but to do business. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. That's so important, that sentence. Thy pound, so he's got the original principle, hath gained 10 pounds. So it's important, we emphasized this last week. You got to understand, this is not about your personal provision. We've talked about that many times. This is about provision for the kingdom of God. This is like King David bringing in all that money for the building of the house. Okay? Notice again, thy pound, the original principle, hath gained 10 pounds. So he's returning the principle and the increase, all of it, to the Lord. I finished last week saying, oh yeah, this is great until it works. So let's say this is great. I'll live on my provision. I've got that established. I did that budget thing like Gary said, and we know what our provision is. And now, Lord, the principal and all the increase is yours. And the very next week, you bring in $1 million. And all of a sudden, you want to go back to the tithe. Instead of that whole $1 million now being the Lord's, and you're living on your provision, oh, well, I think I'm going to go back under the tithe now. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 10% of this million, that's the Lord's. And the rest is mine. Is that what he teaches here? Is that what he teaches? No, that's not what he teaches. Come on. Okay. But there's a temptation there, you know. Oh, I think I need to go. No, we're in a better covenant, established on better promises. He'll take care of you. All right. Okay, verse 16. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said to him, Be thou over 5 cities. So he was pleased with that. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. He calls this wickedness. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore that then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. It's talking about interest with increase. And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and him, from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Well, last week we focused on the heart motivations of the wicked servant. It's not that he was afraid he would lose the money by investing. We're going to talk about that today. Now, he plainly says what his motives was. If the Lord is going to cut, if he says, basically, this was a servant for profit. In other words, I'll do this if there's increase in it for me. But if, Lord, if you're just going to come and reap what I've sown, if you're going to come, I spent my time making all this profit. And if you're going to, one of the modern translations says, if you're going to take my profits, what? The other servants understood, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Here this one says, if you're going to come and just reap what I've sown, if I'm going to do all the work and you're going to come and just use it for your kingdom and there's nothing in it for me, I'm just not going to do it. Well, it didn't turn out real well for him. Okay. This is what the Lord meant when he said over in Luke 17, the passage that ends at verse 10. He says, when you've done everything that I've told you to do, just say we're unprofitable servants. And for years, I thought that meant that you were worthless. No, you're not in this for personal profit. You've become a bond servant to the Lord. And your heart motivation is to serve the master. And thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. I'm doing this for you. You'll take care of me. I'm doing my calling is this ministry of helps, simplicity of giving. My job is to go labor in the fields of business and bring the increase to you. That's the right heart motivation. Now today we are going to talk about the common fear of, which is not mentioned in the parable really, of losing the original pound. What if you say, well, I'm going to go invest. I'm going to go do, let's just pick something like stock trading or commodities markets. I've been involved in both. And now don't ask me how I know this. Gary, what if, now don't ask me. Gary, what if I have a principal of $5,000 to start with and I do my very best and I'm my heart motivation, I'm trying to make money for the Lord, and I go up a little and down a little and up a little and down a little, and the end result, Gary, I hate to admit this, I'm ashamed, but the end result, after my best efforts, I lost the $5,000. You know, now don't ask me how I know this. That's the subject today. Now, let me just read some. Sometimes I can't improve on what I already wrote. So, a common fear of the potential gospel, or the, let's say the fledgling gospel entrepreneur, is that he will make mistakes in his trading and will wind up losing the Lord's pound. Yet in the Lord's teaching here, he only mentions the man who gained the most, the man who gained less, and the man who gained nothing because he refused to trade the pound. At first, I could not understand why the Lord did not give an example of how he would react if one of his servants lost the pound through honest mistakes in his trading. After all, looking only at this parable, it seems that these servants were left on their own after the Lord departed to the far country. Surely there was the possibility of loss, knowing that they were mortal men who are prone to make mistakes. But if you notice, the Lord never mentions the possibility of losing the original seed, the original pound. Neither in this account nor in Matthew's account, which if you want to read that one, it's Matthew 25 verses 14 through 30, very similar to this one. So my thinking went like this in the early days. Doesn't the Lord know that we are fallible men and women, prone to make mistakes and error? Doesn't the Lord know this? Why doesn't he mention the possibility of losing the pound, losing the original investment like the 5,000? Then I understood why the Holy Spirit chose the sequence of these revelations that I've been teaching here. I ask people, please start at the very beginning and listen to them in sequence. It's the same sequence that the Lord taught them to me. I begin to understand why he taught him in this sequence. Because first came the revelation of the serving son. You remember we taught on that for a while? To quickly summarize that series again, the serving son, this is the elder son who came into fellowship with his father, and through those times of fellowship, he found out that the father's heart was just aching for the lost son, the prodigal that was out there, and eventually he said, that love that was in the father would get in this son. He'd say, well, would you like for me to go look for him? Well, yeah, I'd love that. And a ministry is born to go seek and save the lost. Again, that's all I'm summarizing real quick. But when the serving son sets out on his assignment to go seek and save the lost, he finds out quickly there's an enemy out there. Have you found that out? There's an enemy out there, and he is determined to stop you if you're stoppable. So he quickly found, let me read here, he quickly found out that there was an enemy who would fiercely oppose him through direct attacks and all manner of deception. Now the serving son's motives were pure, to serve the father by accomplishing his mission. But he found he was no match for the enemy in his own strength. See, and that's what I found out. Well, I'm sure you figured out why I know about the guy who lost the 5,000 in the beginning. But we've had some great successes since. But anyway. But he found out like I found out, and like you're going to find out. You're no match for the enemy in your own strength. Wave after wave of attacks kept coming against that serving son. Deception after deception came through false friends, false prophets. I could add news account, news reports. Anyway, finally, the serving son, though still doing his best, was, I put, bedraggled, hungry, worn out, and off course. He got off in the ditch here. He didn't know what to do. Now, this next paragraph is so important. I'm going to just read carefully. I'm not going to change a word of it. Just listen. I put this in bold. It was at this point that the Father sent a supernatural helper. His name is the Holy Spirit. This helper could not be deceived. He could not be tempted. He could not be overcome in battle. The key to victory over the enemy every time was for the serving son to fully cooperate with this helper whom the Father had sent. He learned to devote, now listen to this, he learned to devote his energy and his time completely to learning how to cooperate and flow with and to work with the Holy Spirit. As long as the serving son did everything in concert with the helper, he was victorious over the enemy every time. I almost feel like reading that again and then reading that again. This is why in all these preceding lessons and even going back to June a year ago, starting with Mark 4, the most important thing is your fellowship, your daily communion, your walk with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, he brings you the mind of Christ. He is the agency by which we receive the direction from our Lord Jesus. Focus on developing that fellowship through all the avenues that we teach, through worship, through praying in the Spirit, through meditation of the Word, and yes, fasting. Develop your ability. Locate the ear of your spirit. I'll give you a hint, a clue. It's the same place where you hear your conscience. It's not necessarily the mind, although the mind will definitely receive instruction from the Holy Spirit. But the voice of the Holy Spirit, that's why it's so important to always obey the leading of your new nature. That's the voice of your conscience, where it tells you, this is right, this is wrong, this is okay, this is not okay. That place in you, that place, is exactly the same place where the Holy Spirit speaks. And it's not always speaking. I say speaking probably too much, where he communicates. It's the same place in you where these little visions come. Just yesterday, I was trying to minister to somebody. And in the early days, I would always hear and say what the Holy Spirit was saying. But now it's nearly always pictures. And I'll see things. And then I have to pray almost for the interpretation. It all happens quickly on the inside. But it's, but that's why so many of the lessons at my website, Pastor Dave's website, and even others that have been trained in the same method, If you focus on, I'm just going to pick something. If you focus on stock trading, it's good to know what you're doing. Listen, I don't want a brain surgeon working on me that has not studied brain surgery and passed all the tests and, you know, and licensed to do it. But see, what we're talking about is supernatural. What we're talking about, you can't do in your own strength. Although it's good to know the stock trading market. If you're in stock trading, you need to be good at it. You need, so the Holy Spirit can communicate to you like an adult. You got to understand, though, even when you know what you're doing, the Holy Spirit's going to often give you instructions that seem opposite of what you've been trained. You think about the fishermen. You know, Jesus needed to use Peter's boat. But remember that time that the crowd on the beach was so big that they were almost forcing Jesus into the water, you know? Peter, can I borrow your boat? Yeah, you can borrow my boat. And so Jesus gets in the boat and he preaches from the boat. Well, after that, after the crowds dispersed and everything, I don't know if they're dispersed. Maybe they watched this. He says, well, launch out into the deep for a catch, you know, and say, well, we've fished all night. We didn't catch anything. Do what I'm telling you anyway. And it wasn't normal. See, it went against the grain. It went against the normal teaching to fish on the Sea of Galilee like that during the daytime. They did it at night. They always cast the nets on the left side of the boat. I don't know why. That's the way he always did it. See, this is the way we all, my daddy did it that way, and his daddy did it that way. Stock market person. My daddy did it this way, his daddy did it this way. But see, Jesus says, no, cast your nets on the other side. Now, these are instructions. These are experienced fishermen that know what they're doing. They've got the equipment to do what they're doing. It's not like they don't have experience, and he's using their equipment. He's using their knowledge to some degree. But see, the mind of Christ is different than the mind of man. And when you start cooperating with the mind of Christ, then the Holy Spirit does what you can't do. They throw their nets on the other side, which is against all normal experience. And they catch so many fish. What? How does that happen? Somehow the Holy Spirit is directing these fish to that area or something. We're not given the details, so I'm not going to preach it. But all I know is, by following the instructions that came from the mind of Christ, instead of the normal instructions that come through the experience of man, they caught like a boat sinking load of fish. They had to call their partnerships to come and help them. I mean, don't tell me God can't cause abundance to come your way. But you've got to hear and obey what he says. When he says, cast your nets on the other side, you cast your nets on the other side. Now I'm going to give you a more modern example from my own life. See, in the very beginning, when Sue and I started obeying the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the first thing he had us do was start teaching a Bible study in our home. He told me who to invite. I knew exactly the mission. I remember one of the instructions was, you make these lessons so simple, design them for people who couldn't find the book of Mark with both hands. That's exactly how he said it to me. But you understand that, don't you? Okay. Well, my original thinking was, because we had no income at all. He'd already had me leave my job, and we had no income whatsoever. And so, just in the natural, everything I had seen in the church, we'd already been saved for, good Lord, 12, 13, probably 14, 15 years at that point. And mostly what we had seen was, you know, in churches, you take up an offering. And also, you sell your, in those days, it was cassette tapes. They sold the cassette tapes. My first thought, because of what I'd seen, was, okay, we're going to take up an offering. And maybe this is how he's going to start providing for us. And we'll sell the tapes, because he told me to record every service. And I had an old, big old clunky recorder. It was funny. But when I go back to prayer, he starts giving me instructions like he gave them, opposite, you know, cast it on the other side of the boat. He says, don't take up any offerings from these people. What? Don't take up any offerings. Oh, and when you start sending out cassette tapes, when people start asking for these tapes, he says, I want you to send them for free. And I want you to pay the postage. And I don't want you to even put in a return envelope. What? You talk about instructions to cast your net on the other side of the boat. I never heard of anybody prospering by giving away free tapes. These are different instructions. Lord, we've not seen it like this before. This is not how churches do it. You're aware of that, Lord. Churches don't do it like this, and they sure didn't at that time. Anyway, and I don't want to believe, but listen, looking back on it now, absolutely, that was the mind of Christ. That was his plan for us. And he told me in the very beginning, he said, if you'll precisely obey the instructions I give you, I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support you and the needs of the ministry. And he's been doing that now for all of these years. And you can tell I didn't starve. There's chicken in the refrigerator, gas in the car, clothes on us. he's taken good care of us. But very often, the instructions that come from the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit are very different from the normal experience of man. And you just have to learn to follow him. See, that same thing will be in... yes, sir. Right now, I'm thinking about Joseph in the Old Testament, type and shadow. God gave him this ability to interpret dreams, and Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph interpreted it, and the interpretation, the end result was there's going to be, I think it was 7 years of feast, 7 abundant years, but then there were going to be 7 years of famine. Now, see, in modern language, the Holy Spirit showed Joseph through that dream of Pharaoh's in the interpretation. The Holy Spirit showed Joseph the commodities market for the next 14 years. And from that knowledge, then a plan was devised. Okay, during these fat years, during these years of abundance, we're going to buy up all of the grain that we can. I think the King James calls it corn, but it was grain. Okay? Now, you got to understand, during that 7 years, corn was everywhere. I'm sure everybody was saying, why are you buying all this corn? Why are you building these silos and storing all this corn? Corn, everybody has corn. What a terrible investment. I mean, corn's cheaper this year than it was the year before. And it's going to be cheaper next year than it was the year before that. Why are you buying up all this corn? I'm sure all of the newscasts, if they would have had such a thing, would have said, don't invest in corn. There's so much corn. Get corn running out our ears, And corn gets cheaper every year because there's more of it. But see, Joseph had heard from God. And so, man, they bought corn, bought it when it was cheap. bought corn, filled up these silos because they knew what was coming. They had supernatural information. He was working with the helper, and he knew what to do, even though now 7 years is a long time. 7 years. And everybody thinks you're the worst trader they ever saw. Look at that, Joseph. Why does Pharaoh even listen to him? I mean, he keeps telling Pharaoh to fill up these granaries with corn. Corn's cheaper every year. Why? That's the worst advice I've ever heard. Why would Pharaoh keep listening to this guy? But thank God he did. Because at the end of the 7 years, the famine came. Boy, it wasn't long. Nobody had corn. And they had to come. Who had the corn? Oh, Pharaoh's silos. And through this, it sustained Egypt, and eventually it sustained the Hebrews. You remember Joseph's family. And the lineage was kept alive in order to eventually produce Jesus. But see, there's a lot more to teach there, but for 7 years, think of it, the mockery. Everybody saying, this is the worst advice. This is the worst. Why in the world would Pharaoh listen to that guy? This is the worst advice anybody's ever given. You had to endure that. You had to know you heard from God, because everybody will be giving you contrary advice. This is why you have to learn the direction that comes by the Holy Spirit. And then once you hear it, you got to hold to it. Oh, man, so much to teach there. See, victory, back to the lesson today, victory for the serving son came as he became one with the helper. You know what I mean by that? Quote, quote, him and the Holy Spirit had the same mind, same purpose, and the same methods. This required the serving the serving son, to spend the vast majority of his time in fellowship and communion with the helper. Every time the serving son received the complete counsel of the helper and acted in perfect obedience to that counsel, victory over the enemy was swift, sure, and complete in every battle without fail. And it's the same today. Again, I would never on my own come up with the thought of, well, the path for us is to give away everything free. Who ever heard of such? And I am not telling you to do that. People have actually imitated that. And I'm telling you, you can't obey what he told me. The only part I'm asked, that I tell people that I want them to imitate is the prayer part and learning to discern, locate the voice of his, of your spirit within you where he speaks. But that's the part to pray in the spirit, meditate the word, throw in some fasting, spend time in worship, develop your communion, your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Get his instructions for you and it'll work just like we received instructions and it worked for us. But anyway, cast your net on the other side. We don't do it that way, Lord. Cast your net on the other side. Nobody does it that way. Cast your net on the other side. I could almost see them eventually, you know, these experienced fishermen. You know, they've spent their whole life out on the Sea of Galilee. I just wonder if there was ever any eye rolls like, okay, this preacher from Nazareth thinks he knows more than us experienced fishermen. Let's cast our nets on the other side. And then they found out he was more than a preacher from Nazareth. Oh, man. Hallelujah. And he is today, too. Going back to Luke's account of stewarding the pound, it appears that these 10 servants were on their own. See, the way that the parable goes, it appears that way. But we know that's not the case. Our master has not left us as orphans, where we have to find our own way through a fallen world. Now, again, it's so good to see this. Again, I know you know it, but look in your Bible at John 14, verses 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Oh, word paraclete, we could teach for days just on that one word. He's the helper in so many ways. He is your counselor. He is your defender. He is the way he said it to me one time, the Holy Spirit has not come to be your Lord. The Holy Spirit has come to bring you the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He brings you the mind of Christ. So he's going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, that means he can't lie, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and at the time, that was the case, and shall be in you. And of course, that's after Acts chapter 2, where they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. I will not leave, this is the verse. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now that word comfortless in the Greek is orphanos, O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S. And it literally means orphans. I am not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you to have to find your own way. I'm not going to leave you to come up with your own devices how to live. I'm not going to leave you trying to figure out my will for your life. No, I am going to send you a helper. He will become your best friend. He is your counselor in every way. He has seen you and he's come to abide with you how long? Forever. He has seen you at your best. He has seen you at your worst, and he will not leave you. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Glory to God. About to have a running fit. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God. When he says, I will come to you, Jesus says, I will come to you. How? What are you talking about, Jesus? What do you mean you're going to be in heaven seated at the right hand of the Father in your glorified body? What do you mean you're going to come to us? He comes to us by means of the Spirit of truth, the Helper, whom the Father has sent. I say again, the Holy Spirit brings us the very mind of Christ, just like he told Sue and I. Precise instructions, not hard for us to do. Send everything free. Don't even put in a return envelope. Pay the postage. And part of it too, in our case, don't tell anyone of any need that you have. I will put it on the hearts of the people to give, and that your needs will be met, basically. But now see, listen, for the gospel entrepreneur, the problem has been, we have attempted to overcome mammon with the wisdom of man rather than pay the price for communion, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to receive the instruction that comes from the mind of our Master, Jesus Christ himself. This is how I lost. Oh, this is how that guy lost the 5,000. That guy. Man, he got computer software. He studied the charts. He read books. He learned investment techniques. He did all of these different things. And it's not wrong to do that. You got to know what you're doing. He used the skills and the equipment of the fishermen. Okay. But they still had to follow his instructions and not follow their own mind. Okay. You do have to, if you're going to be a trader, you got to have an account. You've got to have the ability to make these trades. You've got to know the process. You've got to learn it. But the leadership comes from Jesus Christ. When he says, I will come to you, he comes to us by means of the Holy Spirit. He brings those instructions from the mind of Christ. Gospel entrepreneur, I'm going to say it so strong. You are not alone. He has not left you as an orphan. I'm going to say it again. You are not alone. You may feel like you're alone. You may feel like, I don't know what to do. You have a helper. Take a deep breath. Relax. You are not alone. Focus on developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Learn that place where he speaks, which I'm telling you again, is more closely aligned with your conscience than it is your thinking, the thinking part of your brain. But don't disobey righteousness. See, many people, because they do constantly disobey. Well, what do you mean, Gary, in modern terms? Don't watch that movie. Well, why not? Well, just don't watch it, but you watch it anyway. See, every time you disobey the leader, or I want you to give $10 to that person. No, I might need that $10 myself. Now give the $10 to that person. No, I'm going to keep that $10 for myself. Oh, and the contrary, too, you might think, well, I'm going to give that person $10, and he says no. You can have that happen, too. I've had it happen before. See, every time that you override the voice of your conscience, you know, it's like that conscience, that place in you is the very door, if you'll allow me, where the mind of Christ comes to you by way of the Holy Spirit. Every time you disobey it in any way, you're like taking a 2x6 and nailing it over that doorway where it's difficult for that door to open. And you keep at it long enough, the Bible says you can develop a seared conscience. You've seared it like with a hot iron. You don't hear it anymore. You just don't hear it anymore. It's not that he's not speaking, but you've seared that place, okay? That's why it's really important to obey righteousness. When your conscience says, don't watch that movie, you don't watch that movie. When you hear a prompting to give that person $10, you give them $10. You know, when or a thousand times, well, that's probably many, many times a day. You have the opportunity to obey or not obey that inner witness. That place in you is the very same place where the Holy Spirit speaks and brings you and or brings a vision so you know what to do. The very mind of Christ. It's so important to keep that place tender, special, holy. It's worth everything. And it has everything to do with your calling. Gospel entrepreneur, you are not alone. You are to co-labor with the helper whom the Father has sent. While I was in prayer way back in August of 1998, the Holy Spirit said this to me. Instructions that are not heard cannot be acted on. Many hear not the voice of him who speaks from heaven, for they have not learned to sit and hear my counsel. Again I say, it is I who brings the mind of Christ to every believer. I bring his mind in a precise way for those who will sit and listen to my counsel of detailed instructions. Can't put it any better than that. then he also said, every instruction that they receive from me, it will not add to their burdens. It will free them from their burdens. For the instructions that come from the mind of Christ are intended to loose me. Now, that means the Holy Spirit and my power in the lives of every believer. His instructions do not come in such a fashion that I would stand idle while men should work. His instructions come that man can rest in the freedom which belongs to the sons of the living God, while the Spirit performs all things according to my power that is resident within myself. This is the help that the Father and the Son have sent to the serving sons, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now again, going back to that time when Jesus said for them to cast their nets on the other side. And when they obeyed that, so many fish there. Why were they there? We're not given a behind the scenes or the in the spirit realm. Look at what really happened. But somehow the Holy Spirit was involved in all of those fish being right there, ready to be caught, waiting for somebody to obey the instructions from the mind of Christ. I think about the time that Peter, they needed to pay their temple tax. And Jesus sent him with a fishing hook. Here again, he's using experience. He sent a fisherman to go fishermen. He sent a fisherman to go fishing. Peter goes with the hook. I'm sure he's thinking, because the instructions he received, again, seemed bizarre. The first fish that comes up, open its mouth, and you'll find money in it, and take that money. It'll be enough to pay the tax for you and me, Jesus said. Well, here, if you could picture Peter with a fishing pole over his shoulder walking down to the Sea of Galilee, and I'm sure he's thinking, I've fished on this sea my entire life. I have caught thousands upon thousands of fish out of these waters. Never one time in all those years did I ever catch a fish that had money in its mouth. But the Lord said to do it, and he said it'd just be the very first fish too. So here we go, obeying the instructions that come from the mind of Christ. Did the Lord say, cast a net this time? No. But that's the way we always do it. No, he said, catch this one on a hook. Okay, all right. The first fish? Yep, the first fish. Cast it out there, and the very first fish he catches, guess what? Opens its mouth. There's enough money to pay the taxes. Now, is the Holy Spirit involved in that? Oh my God, he's involved in it. What? I don't even know what all was involved for the Holy Spirit to direct a fish somewhere to some shipwreck on the bottom of the ocean there, or the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, I guess. Yeah, bottom of the Sea of Galilee, where someone dropped money out of their bag or something. Anyway, some fish scooped that up, the right amount, get that coin right there, put it in your mouth, swim this way, there's a hook, bite that. Sure, the Holy Spirit's involved in that. Sure, it is. But Peter had to obey the instructions. He couldn't go cast a net. This time it was take a hook. So many things. So many things. I'm going to say it again. You are not alone. He has sent us a helper, but we rely. most of the people that I've worked with over the years, and plus I've had the same tendency myself. See, the human mind likes self-accomplishment. We feel, oh, I did something. The tendency in the early days was to focus on learning the stock market and reading the books and learning the trading. And you got to have some degree of that. Peter had to know what a fish hook was. In other words, he did use, the knowledge that they had. But the direction comes from the Holy Spirit. In the early days, my tendency was to focus on the natural part, feeding the brain more and more knowledge. And that's not the answer. The answer is learning to hear precisely the direction that comes from the Holy Spirit and following those instructions. That's the mind of Christ. That's where the cast your net on the other side of the boat. That's where those type of instructions come from. And it sometimes doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but still, that's where that's why he taught me these lessons in the sequence that he did. I had to understand. Now, this enemy, if you tried to, boy, Dave used to say it this way. He said, now, if you're really a gospel entrepreneur and you're going to go out there in the kingdom of mammon and conquer, Dave would say it this way. If you're going to go swim with the sharks, you better spend a lot of time with the dove. Boy, how perfect is that? And that is the lesson. You got to spend a lot of time with the dove. You've got to. I believe in the book of one of the letters to the Corinthians, Paul said, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Although Paul told him, I want you all to speak with tongues. I speak with tongues more than you all, and so forth. But one time, Pastor Dave, that ratio hit him, 10,000 words in tongues compared to five words in the known language. You see, that's a pretty good ratio there. He says, you got to spend way more time with the Holy Ghost. In other words, how long does it take to speak 10,000 words in an unknown tongue? And Dave actually calculated it out. I don't remember those calculations now. But that ratio, 10,000 words in an unknown tongue compared to five words in your known tongue, spend all this time with the Holy Spirit before you go make that next trade, before you make that decision whether to expand your business and whether to expand it there or in that city or in that city. James talks about the folly of man saying, oh, we're going to go into this city and we're going to spend a year there and we're going to buy and sell and we're going to get gain. And he said, how foolish. How foolish is that? Just trying to do things by man's wisdom. He says, no, your attitude should be this. And I love how James really puts it on the line. He said, if it's the Lord's will, we'll live. What? I was just talking about my business. You don't understand. You belong to the Lord. It's really up to Him, your whole life. If the Lord wills, we'll do this or we'll do that. You got to spend a lot of time with the dove if you're going to go swim with the sharks. You got to be following His plan for your life, not your own. That's why we focus so much on learning to discern how the Holy Spirit communicates. Spend way more time with Him than you do anything else. It was like a preacher that would go and spend 10,000, he would pray 10,000 words in an unknown tongue on a Sunday morning to give just five words that came from heaven in a known tongue. Five words, 10,000 to five. That's a pretty good ratio right there. Okay, back to this. Oh, we're getting near the end already. See, without the cooperation between ourselves and the Holy Spirit, we are just fallible, well-intentioned, but fallible men, and the potential exists for us to lose the Lord's plan. But for those who will pay the price of communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit by all the methods that we've talked about, meditation of the Word, praying in the Spirit, fasting, worship, developing a real fellowship, a walk of the Spirit with the Holy Spirit. For those who will wait upon the Lord until they have received the counsel, the full counsel of Jesus Christ from the Holy Spirit, well, there is no failure. There is no loss. There is no loss of the pound for them. There's no such thing. I'm getting a little bit of a check. Sometimes it can appear to be a loss. Pastor Bronk recently taught a message from the Old Testament, and the Holy Spirit's just putting me in remembrance of it. You'd have to look it up for yourself. But there was a battle between the tribe of Benjamin and the tribes of the other tribes. And it was the Lord. The Lord sent them into battle, said, yes, go up and battle. And the first battle that they had with Benjamin, they lost. And a lot of men died. It looked like failure. And they went back, Lord, did we hear you wrong? Should we go attack again? And again, the Lord said, attack again. And they lost a second time. And you think, this can't be right. We must not have heard from God. But they go back and they pray, and God says, attack the third time. And the third time, they won. It almost wiped out Benjamin at the time. What's the lesson from that? It may look like failure, but if you're hearing from the Lord and he says, keep going that way, you keep going that way. Boy, yes, sir. Whew. There was a time in our ministry after we'd been in ministry for a few years, and we had several employees, and this was at the height of sending out cassette tapes, which, man, that was a lot involved with that. We had to have duplicators. We had to have staff. We had to buy these bubble mailers. We had to. We even had our own postage machine during that period of time. It was expensive, very expensive to do it that way. It's much less expensive now since everything's streaming online. But at that time, it was really expensive. And to the best of our knowledge, we were doing exactly what the Lord told us to do. But for no reason that I know of, the finances began to dry up. And there wasn't enough money to buy the postage to send them out. And at first, boy, the tapes are just stacking up. They're stacking up to the ceiling. We had them ready to go. Address, you know, they're in the bubble mailers. They're addressed. The only thing lacking is the postage to send them out. And there was just no money. And I didn't know what to do. And at that time, I'd pray, and I just didn't hear anything different. See, if you pray and you don't hear something different, what does that mean? You keep doing what he told you. Well, I didn't know what else to do, except I had a credit card, and so I paid for the postage with it, and we sent it out. Well, that continued for a while, and I'm not going to get into real details, but over a period of months, several months, man, we had a bill, had to use more than one credit card, but we got over $40,000 in the hole. And you ever been in the red? And I'm telling you, every devil in hell was on each shoulder. You never heard God in the first place. You stupid guy. You messed up. Look at this. This is certain defeat. Absolutely, this is not the mind of Christ. You know, you need to take... And what they were trying to get me to do was to let you know about the problem that we had. He was trying to get me to write what we commonly call an appeal letter. Now, there's a place and a time, and if God tells you to share with people, that's fine. But in our case, he told me not to do it, okay? He told me in the beginning not to do it. And so that was what the enemy was trying to get me to do, was to let people know of our need and, you know, and do it in a nice way. But that would violate something that the Lord told me personally. He told me not to do it. So we didn't do it. That went on for a while, and I got to tell you, it looked like failure. I had trouble sleeping during that time. You know, it's fine to preach casting your care on the Lord. It's another thing to live casting your care on the Lord. But anyway, eventually, this went on for a while, maybe a year. And if I remember right, it was over $45,000. And all of a sudden, we got a gift. I remember the very first one that came. We got a gift of $5,000 from a man in Australia. I thought he made a mistake because, and I got to speed this up, because up till then, he'd never given more than $300. And that $300 was a huge gift in those days, you know. And so I actually arranged to, you know, their time, the time zone difference is so great there, but anyway, I arranged to speak with him at a time that was convenient for him. And I just asked him, I said, I'm afraid you made a mistake. And, you know, did you really intend to send five? Did you intend to send 500 and you accidentally hit an extra zero and sent 5,000? And he says, oh, you scared me half to death. I thought maybe I sent 50,000. He said, yeah, I know. I intended to send 5,000. And I said, well, why did you send so much? And he said, his answer was, oh, I've been saving up. I'm telling you, that began an avalanche. We got five. I had never told anybody. Nobody even knew that we were in debt. But I knew that 5,000 put it on the debt. Within a week, within 10 days, we got another one for $7,000 from another man, a businessman. And I contacted him, too. I thought it must be some mistake. He'd never seen anything like that. Nope. He said, I told the Lord early on, when you kept sending those tapes for free, when we could not have afforded to buy any, I told the Lord, if he ever made it possible, we were going to bless you back. And he's made it possible, and we're blessing you back. $7,000. We put it right on. We put it right on there, on the debt. You know, paid that in there. Within 1 year, we were right down. That whole debt was paid off. Gosh, I'm trying to remember the numbers. There were just a trivial amount left. I can't remember now. Something in the range. I know it was less. I think it was 3,000 or less. I'd have to go back and look at the numbers. It's a long time ago. But anyway, it was, you know, and we're right up to New Year's Day almost, just right up to New Year's. And I got a phone call from a minister from overseas, and he's really talking with me about some other things, you know. But in the course of it, right at the end, he says, oh, he wants you to have a happy new year. We took up a little offering. We've already wired it to your account. God bless you. Bye-bye. You already wired it to our account? Getting on my computer, looking at the bank account. And it was enough to pay us to finish off the debt, less $10. And I said, Lord, I got $10. We finished that year. He wiped out that debt in less than 1 year. And he did it supernaturally. And here's the other amazing thing. Right after all that was paid off, those supernatural large donations stopped as quick as they started. It was the Lord. It was the Lord doing what he said he would do. He said, you obey these instructions of mine, and I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose, and they will support you and the needs of the ministry. And he's done exactly that. Okay, I got to finish up here. Got about 2 minutes. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen, nobody is perfect. We all make mistakes. Even if you do your best and make a mistake and suffer a financial loss, oh God, I've been there. Do not despair. Our Lord is the God of the second chance, the third chance, and the 70 times 7 chance. Do you hear me? The 70 times 7. He understands growth and maturity. Just own up to your mistakes. Be very honest and transparent with Him. Ask forgiveness. Determine to spend more time with the Holy Spirit than ever before. And always remember, you are not alone. You're not alone. Hallelujah. Love you so much. See you again next week. Bye-bye.